-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of -3 at the start of a brand new sports week. Happy Shecker season to all. Yes, I've decided to start it a little early this year. We usually wait for the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I'm in high spirits, though. The Pitt Panthers are back on track. They're bowl eligible. The Pittsburgh Steelers are in the win column. The Penguins are an absolute dreck. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. And you know what? My disposition is all the sunnier as we bring in here, ready to break down the weekend of pro football and college football action. Mixed bag there for our guest here. One of our all-time favorite guests here on -3, and in fact, an occasional co-host on -3. He also is the star of Jeff Schwartz, A Smarter Than You. Make sure you track down all his great work over there at FS1 and Fox Sports. It's Jeff Schwartz. What's the poop, fella?
I'm just celebrating the Chiefs being on top of AFC Conference after week 10, you know? It's weird how that works, Dave. You know, you lose a one wide receiver and you get a bunch of other good players and you can still coach and play football. It's weird. Don't know how that works.
I know you're taking a sarcastic tone. First of all, condolences on your Ducks. I'm not trying to dig, but I'm pushing back. I don't mean to push back on your Chiefs, because we'll get into that in a second. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Like Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing, I was wrong about the Chiefs and the Chargers. As you know, I broke up with the Chargers, though, a couple weeks ago. We'll get into them, but let's talk about the Oregon Ducks.
I just watched a fourth down play that a running back slipped on, and oh boy, we should have hit our head on the goalpost. Like, we had a touchdown run, it was blocked poorly. I've done my Pato radio show now for 4 years. I've never had to do it after Oregon lost to Washington, so it's gonna be a tough one today to do my show. For those who don't get, like, Oregon and Washington are bigger rivals than Oregon State or Washington. Like, we hate each other. There's a deep-seated passion for that. So, man, that stunk. I didn't think we were a playoff team to start the season. So, obviously, a run kind of to that point has been surprising. I thought we'd lose to Utah this weekend, not Washington. So, it kind of stinks to lose to your rival like that. Oh, man. All right. Well,
was everybody up late? I don't know if it counts as being up late, Mike, the 3 hour difference here. Yeah. So, but if anybody missed the end of the Oregon Washington game, Michael Penix came on. He overcame that terrible interception in the end zone. I thought the game was over. I thought your team was going to survive this one and really present as an ongoing great option for the Final Four here. Yeah. And Michael Penix throws the ball across the field up the sideline for a touchdown. Bad by Oregon to allow that touchdown. Bad by the refs, though. I thought that your guy, your wide receiver, makes a dynamic play along the sideline. And they say he stepped out of bounds. There's no evidence to support or betray the call on the field. Yeah. But I thought that stunk. Obviously you didn't like it as an Oregon supporter, but I thought that call stunk and maybe impacts who winds up in this Final Four.
Yeah, look, I have a firm rule where I don't blame officials for losses. And there's plenty of the reasons why Oregon lost that game. You talk about that long drive that ended in a field goal. It was a 20-play drive, went 91 yards. Our center, he was playing through a bad shoulder pec, ends up hurting it on that drive. Next play, bad snap. Like, it just like weird stuff happened on that drive to end that drive. It's interesting. In the booth, Brock Huer was doing the game. He's a Husky. Like, he hates Oregon too. And even he mentioned, like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, on a play like that, I kind of want more evidence that this is, like, the guy was out of bounds. I mean, his heel was off the ground. It was only that his ball of his foot had to be out of bounds. And I don't think we saw that. And we also didn't have any cameras to say we didn't have it. And the ref who made the call was like 25 yards away. So, look, it's not why we lost. But now, and this is the thing with officiating, is that it always leads to the what if, right? And, like, so you have this great game, where both teams played well, both teams had bad turnovers, both teams couldn't play defense. And then it's like, well, what if? Instead of just kind of celebrating the good game it was, we're what ifing the end of a game. So, look, it's not why Oregon lost. It's a bummer, man. Like, losing to Washington stinks. And even I never lost to them when I played at Oregon. We won 12 in a row.
Forgive my ignorance. By the way, you mentioned it before the game, and I support where you came down on this thing. Shame the devil. Who let the Huskies wear all purple in Oregon? That was I didn't care for that choice either. That was,
I think we went all yellow, so they went all purple. But you know, Oregon State have been doing the yellow orange thing more, I think, longer than USC have been doing which is this weekend, by the way, the most beautiful uniform matchup. Thank you, sir, for making this happen. Is this weekend, UCLA USC. It's happened on Saturday night. So
my greatest achievement, along with getting Wade Phillips to dress like his old man, Bum Phillips.
Yeah. And pissing off my brother before a football game. Three great accomplishments that you have done. So, it wasn't great. But look, year one of Dan Lanning has been a success. Recruiting's going great. The best player on defense, on our bad defense, is the only guy that he brought in.
Hold on. I didn't bring you on here to shill for the Ducks program. That's fine. What I'm curious about is, though, USC, is there a path there now? Yes. USC beats UCLA. UCLA now with two losses. Is there enough strength of schedule for SC, if they win out here, to rightly claim one of those four spots? Because I've been touting your guys for the last couple of weeks here. Now that dream is over with.
Yeah. I mean, they're USC. Like, right now, I'm going to pull this up right now just so we have this. Okay. So USC has 7 Pac-12 wins this season, right? Their combined record of the 7 teams is 14-36. They've somehow only played, until they play the Bruins this weekend, one of the top 5 teams in our conference, which are, USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon, Utah. They played one of those. They're going to play another one this weekend. They played Utah and UCLA. So they're going to lose this weekend, I'm telling you right now, UCLA. But if they beat UCLA and they beat Notre Dame and they beat, I think it would be Oregon or Utah at this point, they'll be in at 12-1. I just don't think they're going to do that. Their defense is near 100th in the country in points per drive. They can't get stops. When you can't get stops, you can't look at games and think like, we're going to win this game. Like, you have to, like Oregon, like this weekend, like we couldn't get stops. Like, you're just kind of holding on to see who has the ball last. It's a terrible way to play football. But
you know what's too bad? I think TCU, sorry to be a cynic about the Horned Frogs. I think they're going to stumble. I thought Texas was going to beat them. Obviously, I was wrong about that. If TCU were to stumble between now and the announcement of who makes the Final Four, this is a funny year where you almost wish it was just a 2-team playoff, just one game, a one-off like we used to have. Because the survivor of Ohio State, Michigan versus Georgia, that's the clear cut national championship game. No one really has a claim to it. Otherwise,
I'm fine with going to 12 teams. Like, trust me, because then obviously in my conference, I love, there's still a talk about who makes the playoff, right? I mean, there's still talk of USC, but if USC loses this weekend, that's it, right? The Pac-12 is out, where we'd still be talking about the Pac-12 making a playoff. But I'm fine. I was fine with the BCS. Like, put the two best teams in there. Like, how often is it, are we like, well, if you look at the playoff, I think since 2014 it started, one team has won the playoff who was a 3 or 4 seed. And it was Ohio State as a 4 seed. Ohio State, like, come on. It's Ohio State. It's the year they beat Oregon. Like, they're Ohio State. Zeke Elliott is a running back. Pros up and down. Like, they're the 4. That doesn't happen anymore. Like, Georgia's the best team. They're going to win the title again, I would imagine, unless they have a weird something happens in the playoffs. Do we need a 12-team playoff to determine that? No. But for fun, but the thing about 12-team playoff is that it makes the sport more fun, right? Teams are still playing for a playoff berth. It gives a group of 5 team a chance to play a big dog. We have playoff games on campus, which will be great. And so, like, if you're not one of the better teams in the country, I think you would rather almost play a home playoff game than get a bye. Like, if you're the 4 seed in the playoff, would you rather be the 4 seed and play like in the Citrus Bowl, and then play in the Orange Bowl and get your ass kicked by Georgia eventually, or play one home game against the 12 seed.
I completely agree with you. It's going to be super fun. And I don't want to be such a curmudgeon that I bellyache about more football. That's all great. But there will be sameness in this rush to it. I mean, obviously, people have been pining for decades for there to be a playoff. So we're finally going to have one. I think everybody is going to see the result. It's going to be fun, as you say, these games. But it will be closer to the product of every other sport that we obsess over. College football, what it had against everybody else was it was unique. Its structure, the week-to-week nature of if you lose a game, you lose control of your destiny. You may have lost a shot at the national title. That all goes out the window now. So it's going to track closer to what we're used to seeing, and it will be fun. So I don't want to bellyache too much about that. But there is an irony in the year that they announced the 12 team that really three teams, if TCU runs the table, I think TCU has a claim, and then Georgia, and then, like I say, the survivor of the Big Ten there. Let's talk some pro football, though.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here. Hey, listen up, sports fan. This message is for you. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, mazel tov. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks, game tickets, experiences, and more. And because Caesar plays by the rules, here comes the lengthy responsible gaming disclaimer. 21 and over, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or our nation's capital. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I thought, once again, that the Chargers were going to win the AFC West. I made that known over and over again to you and to anyone else within the sound of my voice. I like your Chiefs. I don't think they stink. I thought they were going to miss the playoffs this year. Now I think the worst they can go is 13-4, but more likely 14-3 if you look at what they have left there. Meantime, as you know, Schwartz, I broke up with the Chargers a couple of weeks ago. It's not that I wish them ill. It was getting to be a toxic relationship for both of us. You know, it was embarrassing for me. I wasn't at my best. They weren't at their best. I wish them nothing but the best. I just think we're better off as friends. I was glad to watch from a distance there and not be as emotionally tethered to the results up in San Francisco on Sunday night. But I think that, and by the way, you got to concede, the football gods have it in for these Chargers. I mean, the results are in, and we're in a decade ago. What gives here? But now they're +7 at home against the Chiefs. First of all, I'm sorry, I'm just blathering because I want you to understand that I'm man enough to step up and say I was wrong. I was wrong about, but a lot of people were wrong. But I was the most wrong about your Chiefs. I said that they were going to miss the playoffs. They're going to wind up with the number one seed. Is that fair to say? Now I've been saying the Ravens.
I don't know if they're going to have the one seed. I mean, they don't have the tiebreaker against Buffalo, so they have to stay obviously a full game ahead of Buffalo the entire rest of the way, which feels difficult just to do. I mean, Buffalo lost two straight games in kind of weird fashion. I just don't expect that to happen all that much the rest of the season. I mean, Buffalo, I just think they're – Josh Allen's kind of reverted into some weird red zone issues, which I it's kind of odd. But the Dolphins have the Texans still. I guess the back of the schedule is not – it's the Niners, Chargers, Bills, Packers, Patriots, Jets. So it's not – it's a pretty hefty back of the schedule. The Chiefs actually, I think, have a – pretty quote unquote easier schedule in the back half.
You breeze, man. If you take care of the Chargers, who you and I were in
Rams, Broncos, Texans, Seahawks, which are, it's a different game now, but it's at home. Broncos, Raiders. They could easily get the one seed here. Yeah.
I think they wind up, you know, 14-3 here. Their toughest game looming outside of the Chargers, who always are a handful for them. Yeah. They go to Cincy. And after that, I like him in every game, including at home against the Seahawks. I don't know how long the Seahawks
sustain this. Week 17 at Vegas, there could be like four Raiders fans at that game as they prepare. Or maybe like Howie Long is the head coach there by that time of the season. Like who are the Raiders gonna bring back to be the interim coach? Like who's the funniest person like they could bring back?
Oh, I've advocated for Otis Sistrom just for the look. He predates you, but their old defensive tackle, number 60, Otis Sistrom with the bald head and the goatee. He used to do the commercial for Barbasol or whichever one, shaving his head. It would be worth 3 points right there when he stands across from you on the sideline.
Who would be just like, I mean, people said Charles Woodson would be the head coach. It would be like a kind of a Jeff Saturday type, right? To be the head coach. Bring Robert Gallery back.
Gallery. That's a good one. Well, by the way, let's get into that now. Well, how would you do as a head coach?
Probably terrible. I don't know.
Always with the spoon online. Anybody who uses Twitter knows Jeff Schwartz and his spoon. Although you got to use the spoon part. You use the wrong end of it. I get the bit that the spoon, the oval shape covers too much up, but I think you got to angle it.
You can't see anything if you use this part of the spoon. I also taped it to my pointer now because I changed my setup a little bit, so it's easier to control the film. So I taped the spoon now to the pointer so I could use my computer.
Give me a bite.
But it's another way around. It doesn't work that way. This part's on the end. Look, I mocked the Colts for the hiring of Jeff Saturday. I didn't really mock Saturday. I mean, I think like any player in the instance would take that phone call. Oh, okay, cool. I'll come coach your team. I did not think it would work. I also think it's quite interesting how they like bench Matt Ryan and then fire Frank Reich and then like, oh yeah, Jeff, start Matt Ryan again. Why not? Who's clearly the better quarterback. I mean, do you remember like 3 weeks ago before they benched Matt Ryan, it was like the stories came out. Scouts believe his arm is shot. He's just can't play football anymore. Benched him. Frank Reich, they fired the OC and then they put Sam Ehlinger in there. He plays like terrible fire. And then all of a sudden Matt Ryan's back now. Kind of interesting how Ursa played that.
That is a very weird, that's a weird wrinkle to it. And by the way, from everything I've ever heard from people who play football, your arm doesn't go. It's in fact your legs that go, right?
I think it's both are true. I mean, but yes, your legs definitely, you can't use your lower half as much. You can't throw the ball as well. I was impressed, man. Like they called a good game. The team played hard. I never looked at the Colts as not being motivated to play, though. Like that was never the thing I thought was quote unquote wrong with them. But let's acknowledge too, the Raiders stink. Like they are bad. I saw the Carr emotional part after the game, and I just thought, like, they're just in a bad place, right? Like, they're in a bad place. Your quarterback is on the podium sharing his emotions, which is, I don't know, whatever. That's great. Share your emotions. I'm not really knocking Carr for that. But your franchise quarterback's at the podium like, guys, we're not playing hard enough. Like, we're not doing the things we need to do to win these games. But in the other essence, I'm like, well, then go win the game, Carr. Like, make plays. Like, be the dude. Like, that's why they're paying you, right? Like, I get it. Maybe guys aren't buying in, but you're paid to make them believe, right? Like, you're the quarterback. You're the leader. Make it happen. And make it happen.
Isn't that, but the pushback on that is it's really – and I felt like he was kind of being generous by saying, like, hey, Josh McDaniels has won a lot more than I ever have. Well, but I think he's also pointing the finger at McDaniels, right?
But he won as an OC. Like, he was in charge of that team. That was Bill's team. And he didn't win. He won 1 year in Denver with that weird Tebow year where they won a game where Tebow was 2 for 8 as a passer. Like, come on, get out of here. God, that touchdown pass in that playoff game, I know it's your Steelers. Like, I just can't believe he threw that ball. Like, it's like the best pass of Tebow's entire career. Just happened to catch the Steelers at the worst time possible. I can't believe he won that game. Like, is that the worst quarterback to ever win a playoff game?
That's a great question. And I think the answer might be yes, but that was a part of that one magical year there. And I'm not going to indulge that conversation. I'm on the happy vibes now.
I picked the Steelers to win this week. That was my favorite wager. I was like, what? The Saints are favored in New Orleans? I mean, in Pittsburgh? Like, what are we doing? What? What's happening here?
Yeah, well, I do want to get into some of these funny numbers that are out there for the coming week of pro football, an early look at those. But real quick, a couple of theories I shared last week. I came up with one. I think Belichick doesn't actually want assistant coaches, but he has them there as bait for the other 31 teams. And he knows somebody will think, like, every year, somebody will step up and be like, maybe we should get one of Belichick's acolytes. This keeps happening with zero evidence that it'll ever work. And so he puts these figureheads out there that he knows are dopes in the hopes that somebody else will be duped into hiring them. And every year it works out. Belichick wins again. But I also think the Bill Cowher thing in the pregame on Sunday.
Get angry. And it's a disgrace.
And Joe Thomas, longtime pro football player. These two guys are swell fellas. I've had limited exchanges with both these guys. They goes out saying know infinitely more about football than I do. But this thing about, like, this is the most egregious thing that ever happened to pro football from Joe Thomas and Bill Cowher with, like, it's a disgrace and all of that. I think everybody's mad that Jeff Saturday may lay bare the reality that football guys like the excuse of being away from home. And if Jeff Saturday makes it like, oh, I can just breeze in here and win games. It's like all those late night excuses are now taken away from you back at home.
Yeah.
Fair?
Yeah. I wasn't that upset about Saturday's hiring. I do feel like the criticism of passing up other candidates is definitely fair. Like, if you have worked your way up and you're Marcus Brady, you get fired like the week before when this would be basically your job. I those are fair criticisms of this hire. Absolutely agree. But the idea of, like, Bill Cowher worked his way up, right? Like, most coaches, you know, you do these jobs, right? You get paid no money, you're an assistant. And each year you kind of climb the ladder, and then boom, you get the head coaching job, right? And Jeff Saturday didn't have to do any of that. And I get why that would piss people off. When Joe Thomas told that story, my thought was, like, maybe Trajinsky should see his kids more. Like, it wasn't like Jeff Saturday doesn't put the time. It's like, I kind of feel like Chud put too much time into this. Like, that was my takeaway. It was like, I would see my kids more if I was a head coach. Was that your takeaway? I'm like, he sees his kids once a week. Like, you can't find yourself more time on a Saturday, a post game, Friday. He said Friday afternoon, he sees his kids. I get during the week, Monday through Thursday might be tough, but I feel like Bruce Arians had a rule, like, you're home by 7. Dude could coach football. So
it's very similar to the approach to sitcom writers' rooms. That it's always like, oh, I got to burn the midnight oil. I got to refine the script and sweat over every syllable on those pages week after week till 2:30 a.m. if that's what it takes. If it's an all-nighter to get that script in shape. And then all of a sudden, Phil Rosenthal comes along with and Ray Romano with Everybody Loves Raymond. And Rosenthal establishes, like, we say goodnight at 5 p.m. and we walk out the door. I think The Simpsons is a little bit like that, too, from what I've heard. And it just blows the those excuses out of the water. And people, yes, there's some percentage of people that don't like that they can create a hit.
But I don't think
like human beings.
But I don't think, I do not think the problem is like that. Cowher's like, well, he didn't put that. It's more the thing about the, I think, climbing up the ladder, right? Like, he didn't put that time in, not the amount of hours per day that he's actually in the facility. I remember a story. I was at the Panthers, and I asked our offensive line coach one time, you know, like, what time do you get to go home? He's like, whenever the head coach leaves. I'm like, what if the head coach, like, it was Foxy, and Foxy's a good coach. That's not a non Foxy, but he's a football guy, old school football guy. Work, you know, every day till midnight. I was like, well, what if you're done at like 8? He's like, yeah, I'm just have to just like sit in our office till Fox leaves. I was like, what? What? Like, what are you, you're done, you're done. What more do you have to do? It's, yeah, I don't, so I just think it's more about the time, the grinding the time than it is like actual how many hours you spend there. But yeah, the thing with Joe was, I just thought to myself, like, man, Chud should have seen his family more often. Like, that was my takeaway. By the way,
my takeaway was, this was almost as funny as when Mark Brunell wept on TV about the Deflategate, that he felt betrayed by Tom Brady or whatever he wept about. Bill Cowher getting choked up that this is a disgrace. I mean, take your job seriously. Good for you. This was hysterical to me. This was ridiculous. That this is the most, this is the disgrace. Are you aware of the stuff that's happened in pro football? And this was the disgrace. This is what you get on the microphone to get choked up about. I thought it was pretty funny.
Is it currently like Daniel Snyder more of a disgrace? Like, isn't that like currently?
I think,
like,
that's a good place to start. Yeah. How about the Browns? How about them on purpose signing Deshaun Watson? Those are two disgraces in a long list of disgraces that go ahead of them hiring Jeff Saturday in what appears to be a lost season for the Colts, again, half of the season.
I want to bring, like, I think it's, you're very validated if you have the thought about them passing out minority candidates instead of him. Like, I get that. That's very valid.
Sure.
And that should be discussed. And I think it was discussed last week. I did on my podcast as well. But this, the Cowher stuff and the Thomas stuff, it was a lot. It was a bit.
Well, that's the problem with the Rooney rule is, if they decide to remove, like, what, you know, they win enough that they're like, yeah, we're going to stick with Jeff Saturday in 2023. Then they're skirting the Rooney rule. And I don't know how you make that right. Like, yeah, we're going to keep Saturday, but we will still interview.
I feel like the Rooney rule, it's kind of not doing what it tends to do anymore. And I don't know, like, what the answer is for that. Like, I think the token interview stuff to me kind of bothers me. Like, I get the idea is to, I think, get people in the rooms and interview and get them interview skills. Cause the interviews are different, obviously, right, for like a coach. But like, I feel like it's just kind of like a slap in the face sometimes. Like, you get an interview just because, you know, you're getting the interview. I don't.
Unless you're getting surf and turf for the effort, like, let's do this interview at the fanciest restaurant in town.
I guess.
Otherwise, I'm not getting on the plane to head over there. But for real, I do. But does it feel
like
you,
like, it feels like it kind of just doesn't serve the purpose anymore than it did? Because I think, like, and people have said this before. I mean, it starts at like the coordinator level, quarterback coach level, and whatnot. So, but yeah, the part about not having to use the Rooney Rule for interim status. You know, obviously allowed him to hire Saturday with a phone call. Can you imagine that call? Or it says, like, hey, Jeff, hey, what's up, man? Do you want to come coach our team? And he's like, sure. All right. Hey, hon, we're going to coach the Colts.
Hey, guess what? Cool news. I think it fits neatly that perhaps Josh McDaniels can fill Jeff Saturday's seat as soon as possible ESPN.
Oh, no, he will be hired right back for the Patriots. He'll be their OC, like, immediately after He'll be the OC immediately after he gets fired by the Raiders. Like, he'll just go back and he'll just do it this year even. Like, I'd be like, all right, peace, I'm out of here. Right back to New England.
Real quick, I want to look at some of these lines because there's some wild ones out there. Early look at these. Rams, Saints, everybody, I think, probably immediately thinks of the, what was that, 2018 NFC title game. History swings on a terrible call, missed call by the officials there. But how about this? The Rams are +3 at bum New Orleans. They're an atrocity, the Saints, and they're laying 3 for the defending world champs. That's crazy. What do you think of the Bungles giving 5 to the Steelers in Heinz Akershire on Sunday too? That game has been flexed out of primetime. I wonder if NBC, if they could go back in time, would want that game back in primetime. I suspect they would now that
where is it at?
It's in Pittsburgh. I feel like that. It in Pittsburgh, you know, they're now 3-6. I keep saying they're certainly going to go over 5.5 wins over the for the season here. And I hope everybody listened to me in laying that bet. But I this is like if the Steelers win this one, people are going to start buzzing about within Pittsburgh that the Steelers maybe have something. I don't know. What do you think of the Bengals coming out of the bye there? Can they catch fire here? Are you surprised by the semi-lousy O-line play after they invested as much as they did in that? Where are the Bengals as a factor in the AFC playoff hunt going forward now?
I'm not surprised about the offensive line because I think they went – they kind of – I'm not surprised at the offensive line. I feel like they could have gone a little bit differently. Like it just, and I think that the Joe Burrow, the idea too, like just Joe likes, he just doesn't care about sacks. Like it's just kind of an odd thing where it just, he's like, you know, the comment last year, like sacks, I feel like you just don't want to get hit. Like you want to avoid getting hit as much as possible. If you're a quarterback, that's kind of my thought on it. The Bengals are going to be interesting. Yeah. They're going to be feisty. The Steelers though, like their superpower is T.J. Watt, man. Like they don't, it's just right. A different team with him. And you mentioned this plenty of times when he got hurt. Like he's the most important player that's not a quarterback, maybe in the NFL. I mean, we've never seen the Rams without Donald, I don't think. So it's hard to kind of tell, like maybe Donald's that guy. But like they're a different team. Who's the rookie? Who's the other running back they're playing? I didn't watch much of the game this week. They're playing the other.
Jaylen Warren is a nice change of pace back for him. He's a little bit of a banger too. He's got a little Maurice Jones-Drew to him. That's giving him too high a praise probably. But yeah, I mean, it all like the offensive line is starting to come together and everything else. But yes, it all pivots on, as I say, the Jenga piece. You remove T.J. Watt, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that the whole thing collapsed on him. They're a different team with him. I'll tell you another candidate for the Jenga piece that you can't remove from the equation and then the whole thing implodes, Ja'Marr Chase. If he's not back, I think that the Bengals aren't in great shape too, but the Browns are +9. This is their season. I think any, you know, talk about disgraces. If they lose that, I think you can close the book on the Deshaun Watson thing. It'll be an irrelevant thing by the time he gets back for this season, at least. So that's good news at Buffalo. But do you like Buffalo? Yeah, but do you like Buffalo now? Are you concerned? I feel like it's a blip that we'll look back on. Like, oh yeah, remember when Josh Allen was struggling there in the middle of the season?
Have you seen how many touchdowns they've scored since week 6? How many second half touchdowns they've scored since week 6?
No, I haven't.
Zero. Zero.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So your concern level is moderate to high?
Yeah. It's interesting. I was, you know, if you kind of follow some people that cover Buffalo, there's kind of some question now about whether we're seeing a little bit of the Brian Daboll loss kind of showing up on this team as we get deeper in the season. But the Allen red zone turnovers, man, like what happened to like Josh Allen the last 2 years, like this is, he's going backwards in the red zone. It's kind of odd. If he just stops doing that, they're going to be fine. Man, that game yesterday, the fumble at the goal line. I've never seen that before. What a game. And then the wide receiver clearly dropped that pass, right? Like we're not even in agreement. It was not even a catch.
Gabe Davis, it was bizarre that they, I mean, that the officials continue to impact these games negatively with their bizarre calls. Same thing happened in Sunday Night Football with the ejection.
The ejection was so weird. Okay, so one last thing about officiating. It seemed like yesterday, I have argued for a while, I do not like the way we call helmet to helmets, especially in college football, but in the NFL, because we don't take nuance into it, right? Where I remember there was one, a Dolphins player went up to catch a football and the defender was coming to hit him in the chest area, right? To knock the ball out. The receiver doesn't catch the football. And as he kind of doesn't catch the ball, he gets hit in the head as he's falling down, right? Okay. And, or was it, he might even have been hit in the head. It was like a defenseless guy getting hit. But my point is that if he caught the ball, though, he's not defending. When the defender goes to hit him, he thinks he's going to catch the football. He's trying to dislodge the football from the guy. If the wide receiver drops the ball, the defender can't stop hitting him once he tries to hit him. That's a 15-yard penalty. I'm not even sure hit him in the head in this instance. Like, hit him in the side. They call him defenseless. I'm like, well, yeah, because he dropped the football. That's not the defender's fault. Okay. So yesterday, though, it seemed like they started talking about that all of a sudden. In the Chiefs game, Juju gets knocked out, helmet to helmet. The defender did not launch himself, really. He didn't. Like, as flagrant as you've seen in the past. But it was helmet to helmet. In every other game for 15 years, that's been a penalty. But all of a sudden, they're like, well, that's not a penalty all of a sudden. And then last night, they're talking, the guy in the, whoever, Terry McCauley, is that who the ref is like, well, they're like talking about nuance. I'm like, since when is this ever talked about? I was shocked.
The bang, watch it at full speed. Watch it. If you break it down, you can see that subtly the defender is launching himself with the assumption of where Herbert's going to wind up. And his teammate deflects Herbert just enough that it changes where Herbert is. His head drops ever so slightly so that it goes helmet to helmet. But at full speed, the idea that any NFL defender running 4-5 towards another guy who's running 4-6 in his direction would be able to modify his launch angle midair is so absurd. Like, I know you want to get the helmet to helmet stuff out of there. Good on you.
But threw him out of the game.
The ejection, right. It's like, the ejection. It's crazy. But I don't share the cynicism about the Bills, but if this costs them home field and they have to run through Arrowhead or Baltimore for that matter, and Baltimore has a very breezy back half upcoming here. So the Bills' losses feel like I don't think it changes their profile as one of the borderline best teams in the league, but it might impact their seeding in the AFC, and that might be everything for them if they have to go out on the road rather than running everything through Buffalo. Certainly with the new structure, that number one seed, it was wonky in 2021. So I wonder if we have a warped sense of the number one seed only having to play two games versus even the second seed having to play three games. That didn't, the 2-1 seeds went out immediately last year. So I think that we don't consider it that big a factor, but consider that the preceding decade, if you had one of those buys, you almost certainly were Super Bowl bound. Right. In fact, I don't know if it was 100% that it was like one
for,
of the top
for
two
like
seeds.
8 years, it was like only the bye teams made it.
So I think, like I say, I think we have a little bit of a warped sense of like, you don't have to have that to get to the Super Bowl. Obviously, you don't. It's not a requirement, but I do think it's going to be a big factor because I don't think there's the Chiefs are great. The Bills are great. The Ravens are tracking towards being great with that pass rush starting to heat up for them. But there's just no great team. Who I do like is the Miami Dolphins. I like the Dolphins quite a bit, Schwartz. I think that that's the team that remains the one that isn't fully respected there. My hypothesis is that Tua going down for those 3-4 weeks kind of got the attention away from them of how good they are. But when he's in there, they would be alone in first place in the AFC East if Tua never had gotten hurt there. I think that's the team that people aren't buzzing nearly enough about. How say you?
I think people still look at that team and think that the winning is more about Tyreek Hill than it is maybe Tua. And a lot of times I think when we preview these games, we think about, well, how the quarterback going to play. You mentioned the Bills. So we talked about Josh Allen, Kansas City talking about Mahomes, Ravens, Lamar, the Bengals, Joe Burrow. But with the Dolphins.
That's right. It's all about, you're right. It's all because we've gotten used to for 20 years that it's all about who your QB is and how far he's going to drag you. But in 2022, that premise has been disrupted, at least for half of one pro football season. Having the superstar QB is not a guarantee of anything, and you can still win games even if you don't have the superstar QB.
Yeah. So, but again, now, does this matter in the playoffs? Right, like that's where this matters. Is that if things aren't going in the playoffs, is Tua going to be that guy? Plus, I think that people don't look at the Dolphins' defense as like anything special. But Chubb played well yesterday. He was a big help on that defense. If they can blitz less and get home more with just four, that'll make them better. But I just look at, I think, again, like where does Tua rank as far as AFC quarterbacks right now? That's how people view, I think, the chances for each team to make a Super Bowl run. And the betting,
you know how I regard it? Tell me this. I know this is hyperbolic adjacent, but maybe by mid-February it won't seem so. I think what Tua is Kurt Warner at the dawn of the millennium. I think that like, this combo of just like Kurt Warner plus Mike Martz plus some high-end pass catchers equals unstoppable offense that the rest of the league is kind of like, what are we supposed to do here? I think that's the case with these Dolphins, interrupted for 1 month by the concussion stuff with Tua. If that didn't happen, that would be the story of the NFL, not Geno Smith or anything else. I think what we'd be talking about is like Mike McDaniel and Tua and those fast receivers and no one can handle him. I think that's how we would be talking, right or no?
I think, yes, but I also think it's tough at times for us to pick teams we haven't seen do it before.
That's right.
And because the NFL is very rare. Like the Eagles run in 2017 is very rare, especially the last 20 years. We're like Ravens as well. I mean, there's some couple examples of that, right? Where it's like all of a sudden the Giants to some extent like that in 07, but in 11, like they were kind of established as like a team that's, you know, a playoff team and whatnot. And so a lot of us have trouble with the idea of like the Dolphins going and beating some combination of like Buffalo, Kansas City, and Baltimore in the playoffs. You're like, ugh. It can certainly happen, but a lot of us are like, yeah, I kind of got to see them play one playoff game with Tua, right? Before I decide.
A deficit of imagination. That's what you call that in the in the right now league. This is not the NBA where you build towards it. Everybody who does this thing, like people in Pittsburgh, are all about, Dave, what you talking about? It'd be better for the Steelers to just lose out and get a top five pick. It's like, I don't know what this pining for the future is about. This is not Major League Baseball where you trade right now for future draft picks or anything. Yeah. I just don't agree with that. You play for right now because that's all the way things change in football is very different than the way, you know, baseball or basketball sort of flow. That's the way the NFL goes. The Bengals, you say like, these teams that come out of nowhere. The Bengals did it 1 year ago. They came out of nowhere.
Yeah. To me, like, that's just kind of why people aren't picking them right now. It's hard to think they're going to win all those games.
Okay, last couple things here. I've held you up way too long. I said 20 minutes tops or shame the devil, and now we've exceeded that. Couple things. Cowboys at Vikes. I'm talking about these funny lines to me. Cowboys are at Minnesota. The Vikings just go into Buffalo, have a signature win in what's been a dynamite season so far. Talking about we can't fully embrace this team, but the Cowboys haven't really done anything to make us believers too. And yet the Vikes are a home dog. It's only two. It's a little weird to me that the Cowboys are given points there. And then the other one that's funny is the Lions. Okay, fun little blip for Detroit. And I'm happy that Bills at Lions presents as a nice appetizer on Thanksgiving morning for me. But they're only plus 3.5 at the Giants. Which one of those is, what am I missing about either or both of those games?
You think the Lions should be closer?
No, I think the what more do the Giants need to do for people to buy into them a little bit? And same goes for the Vikes. Yeah. I mean, I think these are both relevant teams here.
So, the Lions are made by power ratings, right? By the Vegas, they have their little power ratings and whatnot. And the Giants just aren't like that high in the power rankings. Like, what do they do really well? They're very well coached. They play hard. But those aren't things you can measure, really, right? Like, that's not things that you can. And so that's why I think the Giants aren't getting their respect. Well, the Lions have a functional offense. Like, they're good in offense. Like, that's something you could actually, like, put a number to. Very good in offense. But, yeah, defensively, they're terrible. The Giants should win this game going away, just the way the Giants.
You know what it is? As I'm doing the math on it, I think rookie head coach, when you don't know exactly what that guy's going to do as the head man. Obviously, Josh McDaniels is a bad example of that. Nathaniel Hackett is a bad example of that combo, but you kind of are a mystery. Russell Wilson plus Nathaniel Hackett in Denver, I assumed, well, that's going to work out. But also, the league doesn't know what to expect from these guys, from these combos of things, and Dimes plus Dable plus an enhanced roster around that equals success. We're just not buying it because we didn't anticipate it. It's self-validation, right?
But I think the roster's just not that good around them right now. That's why I give Brian Dable a lot of credit. Remember before the season, I keep going back to this, Joe Shane, the general manager, the week of the season was like, hey guys, don't hold this year against us. Like, we might not be any good because the roster's not good. So I give him credit for playing the way they have. And they're going to win at least 10 games. I mean, they have the pretty simple schedule, I think. You know, they play the Commanders twice, split that.
I like the Commies, as a matter of fact. I don't think that's a walkover for anybody.
So the Commies are going to get their butts whipped by the Eagles tonight. But the reason why is because Heineke's just not good enough to win these games. He's playing good enough to beat the Giants. Like, that's they just at some point you're like, yeah, just running around, making plays, nonsense, works against bad teams. But eventually it's like the Eagles, you just can't do that. I think the Giants are going to win 10 games. It'd be crazy. They're going to be a 5 seed going to Tampa Bay probably in the playoffs. And nobody is going to wager on the Giants at all in that game.
By the way, that's your middle Thanksgiving game. Giants at Cowboys. That's a juicy one. Okay, so give us real quick. Is there a mirage out there? Leave us with a sprinkle of some cynicism. Who's going away? What's been a nice story halfway through now, a little bit beyond, and who's about to disappear? I think Tom Brady and the Bucks. I think people are starting to round in. They're like, they're not a world beater, but they're going to win that. They're going to win that lousy division. Are the Seahawks sustainable? Are they going to fail? You're saying the Jets are going to go.
I mean, it's the Jets probably.
Oh, the Jets, not the Jets.
No. The Jets, their quarterback is Zach Wilson.
Like, he is. I thought he had turned the corner in Pittsburgh when he stole that game a month or so ago. Probably anyway, listen.
That's probably the team that I think like will fade the most. If they're in a good playoff spot now, they're probably going to fade out of that before the season's over.
Real quick before you go, Eddie Spaghetti, jump in, because I always like when you two get to kibitz here. Jeff Schwartz is a real fan, and I like that. About him, but sometimes it's led to some discord when you say bad about the Giants. Are you okay with what Jeff Schwartz just said? Do you have any pushback? Or are you like, no one outside our locker room believes in us? Welcome to it, Jeff Schwartz.
This year is completely, it's just all gravy. Whatever the Giants do, and if they win like double digit games, great. If they make the playoffs, great. If they lose the first round in the playoffs, great. Like, there's nothing that could go wrong with how the season went. Just such a wildly different, regular season than I've dealt with since the playoff loss to Green Bay in 2016. So like I said, I'm really not upset with anything. What can I be upset about? It's been awesome.
Eddie, well, I'll piss off Eddie. Maybe not.
Okay.
Good. Do not re-sign Saquon Barkley. Do not do it. Don't. It never works. Don't do it. This is not
tag the him. This is tag not
the
him.
Outlier. This is not the outlier. This is not like the one guy. Don't do it. Just don't do it.
Do you tag? Okay. Tag him? No. Or do you tag Dimes? Or do you sign Dimes long-term?
Oh, geez.
And same goes for the Seahawks. So they're both getting into this weird spot. Are we going to see a thing?
If you're giving me the option here, I would tag Barkley because the number is probably low, and I would go draft a quarterback. Like you're asking me if I had to tag one or the other.
Tag Dimes. Tag Barkley.
Because it would be a lower number than Dimes and get a young quarterback. Because you need a young quarterback anyway. So if this is the year to get one, that's a big quarterback class and you have a good draft pick, get him.
I think that what's going to be interesting this offseason is Dimes and Geno are two guys who you're winning games with these guys, and you're going to have a tough call to make because now the we've accepted, or at least I have, it seems like most of pro football has accepted, like, yeah, if you got the guy, you got to give him $50 million to him there. But I think like Geno and Dimes are going to like be in these spots of like, I'll do it for $20 million, like $25 million. You keep me for that. That's more affordable. Or are you going to go into the draft?
They're such different quarterbacks, though. Like they're winning different ways. To me, if you're Seattle, I would give Geno like a 2-year deal, draft a quarterback, and let the quarterback sit for a year, and give Geno a 1-for-1 deal. But if you're Daniel Jones, they're not winning because of his arm that often. Like the Seahawks, Geno's making some great throws. That's all I would do. If you ask me the option, I would tag Barkley for one more year. See if he can stay one more year healthy, and I'll probably let him walk and get another running back and go quarterback in this draft.
I think that's right. My thing is tag as the exception. You don't the mistake is
the long-term deal.
Long-term second contract for your running back.
The running back tag can't be that much, right? It's probably one of the cheaper ones there is. Not in tight end.
I'm not trying to make you mad or anything. I think the Chiefs are good. But they are not some juggernaut. And these massive home point spreads that they finally are covering, that
one's a juggernaut this year.
Right. That's all my point. People are like, you hate the Chiefs. I'm like, I don't hate the Chiefs. I just think that these double-digit home numbers all you have to do is look at them. They're not covering them. So, they're great.
Have picked the Chargers for 11 straight years to win that division. So I get why Chiefs fans are a little bit upset about that.
That was the old me. I've moved on. We broke up, and I wish the Chargers nothing but the best. I want them to be happy in their new life. And I assume they wish the same for me. I wish the same for you, Jeff Schwartz. Wish everybody listening to Jeff Schwartz is smarter than you, because you will, in fact, wind up smarter than your friends if you listen to Jeff Schwartz. FS1, Fox Sports, all the great work over there. Your gangbusters, Pally. Let's catch up sooner rather than later.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks for having me.
And now a quick break.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There he goes. The great Jeff Schwartz, everybody. All right. Eddie Spaghetti. Let's wrap it up right there. That was an interesting conversation there, as always, a little bit longer than I expected there. Anything stand out to you?
Well, I want to just say, too, about the Giants, and Jeff is kind of correct that, Daniel Jones doesn't win games with his arm all the time, although I will say it's versus the Texans, but he did have a few nice throws, two nice touchdown passes yesterday. But the MVP for the Giants, and I tweeted this, what Dexter Lawrence, besides Saquon Barkley, Dexter Lawrence was the best player in the field for both teams. And, you remember that Clemson D-line, the Cleveland Farrell, Austin Bryan, sure. Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence. Dexter Lawrence then, back when Clemson was good, Dexter Lawrence was their best defensive lineman on that team. And then he somehow was the third one taken in the NFL because these draft guys, as you always make fun of, overthink it. They're like, he's a two-down defensive player. I mean, he was impactful as a Aaron Donald, as a Von Miller, TJ Watt, those kind of guys, like where he had like five quarterback pressures, like four quarterback hits, a tip pass, like fumble, a forced fumble, like just an insane game from him. So he he was as good as it gets. But like I said, Saquon Barkley did have the 35 carries, 150 yards. I understand running backs are not valued, but I will say having a guy that's that dynamic is part of what makes his team good. And I think it's easier said than done to just to be like, oh yeah, bring in a league average running back. The results won't be the same. And that's the one thing
I agree. But you completely get the cap situation. You know, the recent history of these big time running backs. Derrick Henry is kind of disproving what has emerged as true, is like, don't give any guy, whoever he is, a second contract. Derrick Henry is kind of offsetting that with his performance. But yeah, it sets up to be a really interesting year based on being victims of their 2022 success, these gents. And I think the same kind of goes for the Seahawks. So interesting stuff there. Always fascinating with pro football, whatever's going on. There's always something to kibitz about. And we appreciate our guy, Jeff Schwartz, joining us to break it down. Another crazy weekend. And by the way, college football setting up to be a pretty interesting home stretch too. I had completely forgot about the Victory Bell game. Damashek wins again. That's right. Home jerseys. You're welcome, world, for that aesthetic upgrade. All right, Eddie Spaghetti, we'll get out of here, but make sure everybody gets over to Extra Points. Check it out, extrapoints.com. Find all the great shows there. Eddie Spaghetti and Jen Piacente on Waiver Wired on Tuesday. We got Mr. Lister coming at you, Extra Points, a couple of times upcoming, Against All Odds, Covered in Glory, Megan Fun of Sports. They're all out there for you. Lemon Pepper Parlay, check them all out. And I guess with that being said, we'll kibitz with our guy Hench in a couple of days. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.